Excellent. Okay, thank you. Let's make a start. I really do feel God is speaking to us at the moment about certain things. And what I want to share with us this morning, it's quite a simple message, actually. So it's a very uncomplicated word, which is good. But I don't want us to misinterpret uncomplicated as not important, because I really feel there's an importance, actually, in what I'm sharing today for us all. So, to really, really take on board. And some of the things that have been coming out this morning, during our worship, I feel just reassures me about what God's saying. Now, it's great that we, had that time of prayer, last week, and, 2 days of focused prayer, and it was amazing how God spoke to us, during that time, and what was shared both on Sunday and Wednesday this week, and it was really, really great. And what I want to share this morning actually starts with a prayer meeting, which is kind of interesting. It's what God laid on my heart. So let's actually go straight to it, which is in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. Acts 3, verses 1 to 11. And I'm going to read out the New Living Translation. Verse 1, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. And as they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And then Peter took the lame man by the right hand, and he helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and he began to walk. And then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. And all the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. And when they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade, where the man was holding tightly to Peter and to John. I've called this preach "What You Have," because it's really all about giving out what God has given into us. And I think for over the last few weeks we've been hearing a lot about divine interruptions. I think it was Dave that talked about divine interruptions. Sometimes we call it divine appointments, but these are those special moments that kind of God interrupts what we're doing, and the key is how do we respond how do we respond to these interruptions that God brings our way. And and I really think it's part of taking on board what God has been saying to us through our times of prayer recently, when God is telling us to be expectant, telling us to prepare. Well, be expectant for what? Be prepared for what? Well, I think prophetically, I feel this, God is going to increase amongst us all opportunities for divine interruptions. And if God is going to do that, then how are we going to respond, and how do we need to prepare to respond? And we have a great example in our story here, an example of a divine interruption that happened to Peter and John. And I want us to learn from this story. I want to learn from what they did so that we can apply these same principles to the divine interruptions that come our way. And the three things that we need to learn are, one, we need to stop what we're doing. Secondly, we need to give what we have. And thirdly, we need to take by the hand. So first of all, stop what you're doing. Now, we know this man, this lame man, had been coming to the temple to beg for money. And he'd probably been coming for quite some time. you know, he was put there by the gate by people, but we know that he'd been lame from birth. That's what the Bible says. This man had been lame from birth. So we can assume that he'd been put there at that gate day after day after day for a very, very long time. And it kind of begs the question to me, because it's the way I think as I immerse myself in these stories. Why did something incredible like this not happen before? You know, what is it with this man that was there, you know, day after day after day begging? Do people just not notice him? And the trouble is, you know, when you do something often enough, you kind of just become part of the furniture, you know, always there, but kind of we filter these things out. We no longer see the things that are right in front of our eyes. I even wonder whether Peter and John had kind of walked on by in previous times. I doubt this was the very, very first time that Peter and John had walked into the temple. Well, I know they're fishermen, but they were Jews and devout followers of God. They would have no doubt been going into the temple many, many times. And I wonder, and the Bible doesn't tell us, but I wonder how many times Peter and John walked past this beggar that had been there day after day after day. I wonder how many times they just passed on by, and somehow all those previous times they didn't notice. The thing is, you know, in this particular case, Peter and John, they were on a mission. They were going to a prayer meeting. That's what the Bible says. Now, I don't know whether they're kind of people like myself who always like to get to places early. So nothing's going to get in the way. You know, I plan to get out. The thing's going to start at 10:30. I'm probably going to get there for 10. And that's just the way I am. But I'm on a mission. And then there are other people who, you know, well, 10:25 will be thinking about getting out of bed, thinking, oh my goodness, 10:25, I've got to be at the meeting at 10:30. You close on straight out and you're there. And there's all sorts of reasons why sometimes we don't notice, because, you know, we're either focused on our mission or we're just so disorganized that, you know, we're off on these things. But Peter and John, they were on a mission. They weren't just strolling around, having a walkabout. They were on their way to the prayer meeting. And I find it interesting that, you know, we read in this scripture as they were about to go into the temple. They were about to go into the temple. It's hard to know how to interpret phrases like that, but it makes me feel like, you know, they'd already in their mind somehow filtered this guy out, and they were about to go into the temple. But then something caused them to stop in their tracks. You know, this man had called out, and it wasn't just the fact that this man had called out, because this man probably called out to everybody, and he did it day in and day out. Yet Peter and John were about to go into the temple, but this time, they stopped. And the very fact that they stopped, that is the first step towards this incredible miracle that we see in this story. That Peter and John were prepared to stop. We've talked a lot recently about busyness. You know, I read out about busyness, at the beginning of the meeting. Question is, are we too busy to stop? It's an interesting and a very challenging question for every one of us, because you know your own circumstances, and I'm not standing here pointing the finger saying, oh, you're all too busy, you know, you're in sin, you shouldn't be. I'm not saying that at all. I recognise life is busy. But I feel in God both personally challenged and a challenge for every one of us. Are we too busy to stop? You see, these disciples, they stopped. And God wants us in our daily lives, when he's doing his things amongst people around us, he wants us to stop. It's the first thing we need to do. We need to stop. As I said, it is okay to be busy. You know, I loved what Alison shared last week about the story of Mary and Martha and the difference between being busy and being distracted. And it is okay to be busy. But one of the things I learned from that story that Alison shared, and I shared this on Wednesday night, is that Satan is bent on distracting us from the purposes of God. The trouble is, when we had our time of prayer over those few days last week, and we were trying to press into God, that's when we noticed the distractions. That's when we felt difficult. You know, God, I'm trying to do this, but you know, I think people are getting in my way, and I'm doing this, and all those sort of these things are happening, and you're getting all these distractions coming in the way, and you notice it, but you only noticed it because in your mind you are trying to get into the presence of God. But when we're not trying to get in the presence of God, when it isn't in our mind to think, you know, I've got to do this, I'm trying to press into God, you know, our lives are filled with everything else. And Satan is very successfully just distracting us all the time from being aware of his purposes and his plans, you know, for us and for people around us. We're just not aware, and Satan is winning. And God is saying to us, no, you've got to stop. You've got to put the brakes on. You know, busy's fine, but you've got to stop. And it's like I read out at the beginning of the meeting. In busyness, we need to listen to him. He's the main event. And I felt what God say to me is this: look, you know, in our busyness, we still need to be alert in the Holy Spirit. Whatever you're doing. Now, if you're doing DIY and decorating around the house, or if you're, you know, concentrating on doing things on your computer, or you're going up and down the aisles in Tesco's or Sainsbury's doing your shopping, whatever you're doing, God says, be alert. Be alert, because there may just be somebody that's going to come across your path, and I want you to stop. I want you to stop. But if you're not alert, what's going to happen? You're just going to go on by. And God wants us to be expectant. If there's one of the words that came out time and time again last Sunday as a result of our time praying together, is God says, be expectant and be prepared. And like I say, be expectant for what? Be expectant for the people that God is going to bring across your paths. And when he does, God wants us to stop. It says in verse 4 that Peter looked at the lame man intently. It says in the message that he looked at him straight in the eyes. You know, you can always tell when someone is engaged, is concentrating on what you're talking about, because you get eye contact. I mean, and Kim catches me out all the time. You know, she'll say to me, what have I just said? Guys, who's ever had that said to you? Because this seems to be a real man trait, okay? You women, you're great at, you know, you pay attention, but guys, our minds are always elsewhere, aren't we? And from time to time, we get caught out. Often, I'm pretty good at somehow remembering the last sentence, and you can recount these things, and you kind of get away with it. But the truth is, you know, if we're honest, a lot of time we'll get into conversations, but we're not engaged. And the reason is because somehow our minds are elsewhere and we're not paying attention. And yet, if you have eye contact, you know, serious, intent eye contact, that holds you into something, doesn't it? And I was really struck by that eye contact, because when Peter and John looked at this man, it said Peter looked at him intently. He said, look into my eyes. And when God says stop, you know, this isn't just kind of stopping and paying lip service to somebody because, oh, I wish this person would go away. I'm trying to do something, you know, and you're just doing the minimum that's necessary to kind of get this person off your back because you're on a mission and you want, no, that's not what God's saying. God is saying, no, I want you to stop. I want you to look this person in the eye, and I want you to really engage into the very soul of this person, which is exactly, you know, what Peter and John did in this particular story. I know I've had many instances of this when I'm at work. You know, it does happen to me at work. You know, I do try and pay attention sometimes. And I do notice people, and God does speak to me about things that I see. And I will often say to somebody, "Are you okay?" And when I say it, I look into their eyes. I do. That's what I do. And I'll look piercingly into their eyes and I'll say, "Are you okay?" People are laughing at me. But sometimes it's what's needed. We could laugh about this, but sometimes it is what's needed. Because when you look into their eyes, when you genuinely look into their eyes and say, "Are you okay?" It gets right in there, you see. And I think that is what Jesus is saying. You've got to really be serious. It's not, "Are you okay? I don't care if you're okay. I just feel like I should ask if you're okay." You're actually saying, "Are you okay?" And you mean it. And you want to stay there and you want to wait for the moment and you want to wait for the response. And you're prepared then to give that person time, to respond. And, we had some examples shared, last week. I mean, Kim's example was a great one. We got so frustrated trying to sort our new phone out, changing from BT to Virgin. And, it was all going pear-shaped. We were endless phone calls. I was getting ratty and Kim was getting ratty, not with each other, but, with the other end of the phone. And it was getting out of hand. And then suddenly we realised what was wrong with our phone was the wires had got crossed, literally. And some poor lady, when we were ringing our number, her phone was ringing, and then suddenly her phone stopped working, and this lady was housebound. She couldn't get out, and she is dependent on her phone. And, Kim had phoned, this other number that kept showing up on our phone, and so she'd made this contact with this lady, and this lady phoned Kim and said, "Look, I've got no phone now, and I need it, and I'm housebound." And suddenly, we're off our own agenda. The busyness and the preoccupation and the distraction of what was going on in our lives suddenly was thrown to the floor. And Kim felt, hang about, something's more important here. And then Kim's mission became sorting this lady's phone out, which she did brilliantly, and that was sorted out within no time at all. And as a consequence, our phone was sorted out. But that wasn't what was motivating it. I know Kim's heart went out to this lady. It was a divine interruption. I know Kim's going to go and see this lady at some point, because who knows what door that might now have opened. But it's being in the busyness and the craziness of life. It's being still spiritually alert. So when something happens, you're able to put the brakes on and stop and look either the person or look the situation in the eye and say, "God, What's happening here? What do I need to do?" We need to learn to stop. We need to learn to look. We need to learn to listen if we're going to affect the kingdom of God and to see great things, happen. And then we need to act. And what did the disciples do? Well, they gave what they had. I would like the old-fashioned way of saying this, and we used to be an old chorus: "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you, in the name of Jesus Christ." Yeah, let's get up and walk. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto you." And this is the second step. This is the second step to responding to a divine interruption. The first thing is to stop in your tracks. Look at the situation or look at the person, eyeball to eyeball, and then to give what you have. And this is important, you see, because I believe strongly if God is interrupting you for a moment, in a moment, it's because you have something for someone that needs what you have. I'll sound complicated, I'll say it again. If God is interrupting you in a moment, it's because you have something for someone who needs what you have. Otherwise, God would not have bothered interrupting you. And, sometimes we think, well, what have I got? Or even worse, we might think, well, I don't have anything to give. No, that is simply not true. If God has interrupted a divine interruption with you and someone else, it's because you have something that person needs. And what God requires of you is you to give what you have. I mean, think of the feeding of the 5,000. It was a classic example. You know, a little boy only had five loaves and two fish, and there's 5,000 people there. He could have easily just thought to himself, you know, what's the point? But he brought what he had to Jesus, and Jesus did the miracle. And that's what it means by being alert. We were singing about being more aware of the presence of God. And we need to be more aware of the presence of God. So when we have these divine interruptions and we're prepared to stop, we've got to believe that what we have, when placed in the hands of God, will accomplish a miracle. You might write it off. You might think you have nothing. You might think you have nothing worth saying. You might think none of your experiences line up with this. You might just think you have nothing. But you have to believe that what you have in the hands of God will accomplish the miracle for that moment in time, that divine interruption, just like the boy at that moment in time with the feeding of the 5,000. Let's explore some of the things that we might have. We have the authority of Jesus. Now you might think, oh, he's being all super spiritual now, you know, the authority of Jesus. But really, that's probably the first thing we should really absolutely, remember that we have. You know, in the Great Commission, Jesus said, go in my name. Go in my name and make disciples. You know, God has given us authority. We need to recognize that in our lives, we truly are all the time battling against the powers and principalities of this age. That's what we're battling with. And therefore, we need the authority of Jesus to wage war against the principalities and power. If you're going to make a difference for the kingdom of God, then you have to believe that you do indeed, definitely, 100% have the authority of Jesus within you, that when you speak and when you do and when you act, it's sealed with the power and approval and authority of Jesus. It will make a difference. If you don't believe it, you'll just be like the next person, down the road who's doing nice and good things and kind things. And that's nothing against them. Let them carry on doing, good things, nice things. But there's a difference here. You do have the authority of Jesus. You'll make a spiritual difference if you believe that this divine moment in time is a moment that God has given you, and you have the authority now to step right into that moment and speak and do with the authority of Jesus. But here are just some very practical examples. It might just be a matter of a word of kindness. A word of kindness can just unlock a person, can unlock a situation, could open a door to more things. It might be just words of advice. Often words of advice can be brought from your own experiences. God has taken you through certain journeys and paths and experiences, and some of them may be dreadfully painful, horrible for you, but suddenly you find yourself in a situation now where God wants you to give out of the wisdom of what you've learned through your experiences to this person, because now you can truly help. Maybe God just wants you to give some very practical support. Some money or some food or something, even just something practical. You need to go around and help them. Maybe they just need comforting. None of these things should be undervalued. Just putting your arms around somebody and hugging them because they're about to cry their eyes out because of something that's going on in their lives that they can't handle anymore. And you'll hug them and they probably then will cry their eyes out. But it's exactly what they need, because you're responding with the love of Jesus in that moment. Maybe they just need encouragement. Maybe they're on the threshold of something, and for whatever reason, they just can't step over that threshold. And God wants them to get over that threshold. Even if they're not a Christian, God loves everybody, and God knows everybody. Everybody has a plan, and God just needs to nudge them. And you're the person that's going to come along and just speak the word of encouragement and take them where God needs them to get to, because God has a plan for that person's life. Maybe they need protecting. Who knows? We have the gospel. We can tell them, about the love of Jesus. This is not as the world gives. We give out of the overflow of our heart and our love for Jesus. This is why it's really important as Christians that we live and breathe, walking closely with Jesus. You know, if we live our lives just like the world lives their lives, with no difference, with no awareness of the presence of God that we've been talking about, if we just live like everybody else lives, then what different things do we have to offer? You know, we're just no different. But we are different. We are different. We have Jesus within us. We have the authority of Jesus. We have the awareness of Jesus. The Holy Spirit flooding around us. You know, we're like, you know, spiritual ready brick. You know, with this huge glow around us. You know, buzzing for Jesus. And I'm sorry if you haven't a clue what I'm talking about. But anyone my age will absolutely know what I'm talking about. We have something to truly offer. We're different. And but we need to live that way. You know, if we are so worldly, if we're so into all the pressures and works of life, but somehow, you know, God is always on the back burner, and you know, it's just God is always second. Then how can we be like Peter and John, and how can we notice the moments and stop, and then actually have something of a spiritual substance to give? We need to be like this. You know, it's just like all these incredible stories we've been having. You know, remember the story that Alison shared with the lady with the pink bag? That was a divine moment, a divine interruption. You know, we've talked about Kim and the lady on the phone. And then it was Helen shared last week, you know, a colleague of work who just said, you know, I'm lost. What do we have? We have the answer. We have the answer, you know, whatever it is that people are going through, we have the answer, especially if you find yourself caught up in a divine interruption. You're there because you have something specifically, not generally, you have something specifically that person needs, that God has given to you, that he wants you now to give to them. Jesus is the answer, and we need to be Jesus in the community. Again, that was something that was coming out on Wednesday evening. You know, we need to be Jesus to those that we come across. So first step, learn to stop. Even in our busyness, let's be alert and prepared to stop in our tracks, look at the person or the situation intently with our eyeballs and stop and pay attention. And then ask God, what is it I have that this person needs, and give what you have. What's the third step? I love this. Peter and John took this person by the hand. Now, I know in this story, we read it, it kind of all happens within a few minutes. You know, bang, wallop, pick them up, in they go. Job done, okay. But often life isn't like that. But as I meditated on this part of the story, how, you know, Peter reached out his hand and he picked him up. Notice the miracle, the actual miracle of this man, the man's lame legs and ankles becoming strong. It only happened after Peter reached out and picked him up. Not before, only after he reached out and picked him up. And yeah, maybe that's how it often is. We need to learn to take people by the hand. You know, the Bible says that we are to make disciples. You know, we don't make Christians, we make disciples. I know in my own thinking, though, we think, you know, when a person becomes a Christian, that's when you then disciple them. You know, so they become a Christian, we make sure they go on some foundation or, you know, alpha course or discipleship course, you know, Christian, then disciple. I believe, and again, I feel God say this to me, discipleship starts right from the moments of divine interruption. As soon as God has placed somebody in your path, maybe that God is looking for you to disciple that person into the very presence of Jesus, to become like Jesus. It's not about them becoming a Christian. Becoming a Christian is God's responsibility. He will do that when and how the moment is right, and it will happen. It's God. You cannot make a person a Christian. Only God can, but we can make disciples. And it starts the moment God puts that person in your path. And even though in this story, you know, it all happened over, you know, in just one quick move and off they go, sometimes taking somebody by the hand can be quite costly, and costly particularly in time. You know, you've got to give people time. You know, you've got to pick them up by the hand, and you've got to be prepared to hold on to that person and stay with them on the journey that God wants you to travel with them. You know, go with them where they need to go and spend time with them. You know, sit down with them, let them pour their heart out to you. You know, if there's real needs there, then we need to look at God. How can I practically help this person with their need? Don't just shove them off and, you know, say, well, you know, I've done my bit now. I've said a few kind words and I don't have to worry about it anymore. That's not going to win anybody, and it's not going to save anybody. God wants us to give people time. He wants us to reach out and hold them by the hand and not let them go until their legs, if you like, have become whole and they can stand up and they can walk and they can jump and they can leap. And they will walk with you holding hands into the temple of God, praising God, because that's what that man did. If it reads at the end, he was holding on to Peter and John. You know, he in that short moment, he kind of made a disciple of Jesus. It doesn't usually happen in a short moment. But we need to hold on to people, and they want to hold on to us in these divine moments. It's not just about, you know, that a few words said there and then. It's about really, you know, giving people time. And as I've thought about this, for me, this is right at the heart of what I think God is saying to us through this time of these 2 days of prayer, when God was saying we need to be prepared. We need to be expectant. You know, what is God saying to us? What is our strategy for outreach? Well, I think this is our strategy for outreach. It's not about putting on big evangelistic meetings and going out on the streets and, you know, putting loads and loads of leaflets through the door and all those kinds of things. And I'm not saying those never work or they've not been successful in the past. I'm not saying they won't ever be successful moving forward. I just don't think it's what God is saying to us. That's all. And I feel what God is saying to us is we need to be prepared and expect divine interruptions. That's how we're going to grow. If you like, I'd see this as kind of a grassroots strategy for outreach, where outreach is coming in and through each one of us as we respond to the divine interruptions that God will give us and will bring our way, because that's what God is saying to us. And it's not a top down. It's not an outreach strategy. You know, this is Richard's outreach strategy. You know, follow me. This is what we've got to do. No. This is a bottom up strategy, and it includes me. We all need to do this. What do we need to do? We need to stop, pay attention, look in the eye, be alert, engage. Ask God, God, what have I had? What do I have? What do I give? And then spend the time. Don't rush the moments. Don't move on because you're too busy with. We're too busy with our own agendas, too busy doing all these things, too busy to stop. We need to take people by the hand and walk with them. So there we are. Stop, give, and then take them by the hand. And over a period of time, you'll find you'll be able to bring them into the presence of God because we've responded in the way God needs us to respond to these wonderful, wonderful divine appointments. I was really blessed in the break. I was chatting to Alison in the break, and she was sharing with me a testimony of something that's happened recently. I'm not going to share it, and I'm not going to ask Alison to share it right now, because I think I will ask you to share it now. I think it'd be good to have this on the podcast. And then it might be that, you know, we want to go back to it at home group and talk about it. Is that okay, Alyssa? Would you be happy to come and share?
Yeah, sure.
This is really, really contextual, as you'll see, as to what I've just been sharing.
Okay, I was just sitting there thinking, trying to get this into my head to share on Wednesday. So bear with me then. But I was just talking to Richard about something that happened on Tuesday night. Lily, Hannah and myself went to see Mary Poppins at the Hippodrome, which was lovely. And we'd parked our car in Trenchard Street car park and we were up on the 10th floor. And so we came in at whatever level you go in on, and we had to go up afterwards to get the car, and we had to pay because everyone was queuing to pay at the pay stations. And we decided to go on up. There'd be another one further up. So we got up to level 5, and there was a little queue, and we were queuing together. And as we were moving towards the pay station, there was a young girl, a young woman, sitting on the floor, obviously homeless, you know, with her coat there. And she was cross-legged, and she was reading a book. And she had a little Bible, actually. She had one of those little Gideon's Bibles that you get when you leave school, you know, the little red ones. And she had that next to her. And we didn't speak at all about it, the three of us, but we were queuing. And I just said to God, I looked in my purse, you know, because that's right, she had a notice by the side of her that she'd written out on a piece of cardboard box, and it just said, if you can give anything, something like this. Anyway, she said, £15 will get me a warm bed for the night. So I was standing in the queue, edging towards, you know, thinking, have we got the ticket to pay to put in the machine? And I said to God, what do you want me to give? What do you want me to give? What do I do here? What do I give? So I had £2 in my purse, so I had it ready. So we made our way and we paid for the ticket, and between us, you know, who's got the ticket? And as I walked by, I just, and that's right, because something Richard said about the eye contact, when we were standing in the queue, I looked at her and she looked up and she smiled and she made eye contact. She, you know, she made eye contact with me. Now, I know that if she wants people to give her money, she's not going to scowl. I know that. But there was something. My heart just went out. I thought, this is a young woman on her own, you know, homeless, sitting there in the car park with a dirty coat, you know, and she was reading a book and she smiled. And I was saying to her, what do I give? What do I give? And anyway, I walked past and I just popped the £2 I had in next. And what really blessed me, as a sort of aside, really, was Hannah followed me and she put something in. And Lily followed Hannah and she put something in. And we hadn't talked about it at all. We hadn't collaborated, you know, my thought. And so that was just one little thing, is just, I thought that was lovely. My, you know, Hannah and Lily did exactly the same. We didn't talk about it. But what has provoked me is I was thinking, well, but what could I have done? I gave her some money, and I hope that what we gave contributed to her hot, warm bed that night. And I hope that maybe the people in the queue behind saw all three of us do that, and maybe they would have given. And I hope, my prayer was that she'd had enough by the end of the evening to have a warm bed. But what I said to God, what could I have done? You know, it's an act of kindness, but I just felt it's not enough, is it? You know, what, I didn't bring Jesus to that young woman. What I've just been saying to God, what can I do? What could I have done? And I suppose if I sort of asked the question, what would Jesus have done? He perhaps would have taken her home. And I was thinking, could I have done that? Could I have said to her, come home with us. Come and have a lovely hot bath, sleep in a comfy bed, have some food. But you have to be wise, don't you? I don't know what I would be taking on, but I'd sort of say to God, well, what? And I think, and I haven't been able to get her out of my mind since Tuesday night, really. And it's interesting, isn't it? You know, go on holiday and all, I look back on that holiday, I think about the lady with the pink bag. Now I go to watch Mary Poppins, and my lasting memory is this lady who's homeless, you know, and I feel what God has to say to me is, well, look, this is what this season is about. It's about thinking about how you move forward. So don't feel God said to you, well, you could have done more. I think actually God was happy with what I did at the time. And but it's about thinking, well, another time, what could I have done? And I was just thinking, maybe if I'd had a scripture, she had a little Bible there, if I'd had been able to say to her, just look up, whatever. And I don't know, you know, and I think that's where I need to start getting myself prepared. You know, what scripture could I have given her? What could I have said to her? You know, have a little look in your Bible just as I walk past, because it just look up, whatever. Sorry, I'm going on.
I want to stop it there because I'm going to ask Alison to share that story again on Wednesday. I know you'll have heard it now, but I wanted it on the podcast because I kind of felt it's a reinforcing of the principle of what we've been sharing. But it's something that we can really get you know, have a think about, you know, you've heard that story. Have a think about it between now and Wednesday, and Alison will share that story again, unapologetically, share it again, you can elaborate as much as you like, but think about it, because I think this is the season that we are going to be moving into. You know, Alison's had a few divine interruptions, Kev has some, Helen's had some, but we're all going to have them. And we all need to be able to respond in this way, and we all need to ask ourselves the question, what could I give? What could I do? Have a think about that. Pray about it. And we'll chat about that. So thanks for being willing to share. Let us pray and we'll finish. Heavenly Father, I really thank you for this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the way you've prophetically spoken to us today. And Lord, I pray that we'll not let any of these words fall to the ground. But Lord, that we'll take seriously everything that you're saying to us at this moment in time, this really important time. Lord, I pray that we'll enter this season with real faith and expectancy, Father, you know, to be able to respond. And we'll start, you know, we'll be entering Sundays after Sundays where we've got so many testimonies of the way, Lord, we've been able to respond to the moments that you've given us, Father. So Lord, help us to be really spiritually alert this week as we go about our daily business, Father. Help us, Lord, to identify those moments and have the faith, Lord, to move in them in Jesus' name. Amen.